Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Gameplay news now finally revealed for NCAA Football 13. I'm CDJ, and a special guest host tonight, we've got Tommy and JB out on special assignment out in Vermont. I'm joined by none other than Matthew LL Kyler Quizzy. How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Finally, gameplay, your bread and butter.
Yeah.
We're going to break it down. It's going to be a long show. Are you ready?
Yep. It's about time. Let's do this.
All right. First, the cover's been revealed. Let's get this out of the way. Not really a big shock. RG3 already announced. The Heisman vote came down to Barry Sanders and Herschel Walker. Barry Sanders walks away with the cover, going to join RG3. People seem pretty excited. I haven't heard any complaints. Can't go wrong with two great players like that. All right, let's get to gameplay. Everybody's ready. Let's do this thing. Total passing mechanic. Gameplay received a lot of changes this year. Designer Larry Rehart says it's the most changes they've done on this console generation. Total passing mechanic is kind of the big thing among the many features added. I'm going to ask you right off the bat, what are your thoughts on this total passing mechanic? And we'll go in and break down more details as we go out throughout the show.
Well, you know, first of all, I think this year when they talked about the gameplay improvements, you could sense that the actual gameplay guys, Larry and Scant and Anthony, that they were all three really excited about some of these things they put in. Especially the total passing mechanic. Really, at its base, it just really kind of allows you to place the ball where you want it to be, and kind of move the, you know, walk around the defense a little bit as you want to. So, I think it's going to be a nice addition. You know, just as far as placing the ball exactly where you want it.
Now, with that, it's been tied in pretty closely with receiver route awareness. This seems to go hand in hand in some regards. Receiver route awareness, the big thing people have seen in the videos and the teaser trailer and the brief gameplay stuff we saw during the webcast and some of the major media channels with their interviews and recapping of the changes, are these icons above players' heads, receivers' heads, that are dimmed out at the start. And throughout the play, they will turn on or become bright. And I know when we first saw the game in January at the community event, we saw this, and I think I'm not alone here. I think they told us what it meant, that it means they're in a position to see the ball, catch the ball, make a play on the ball. But something internally as a gamer that kind of, at least to me, in the back of my head, was trying to tell me, oh, that means they're open. Well, pretty much one of the first passes I threw was, you know, batted down, wasn't caught, was intercepted. You quickly learn a bright icon doesn't mean they're open. It just means they're in a position to make a catch. I want your thoughts on receiver route awareness, kind of your hands-on thoughts as well. And plus, I'll add on to that, do you think it makes it too easy? Because that is something the community's been worried about. And I think it's at least seeing this, it's a bona fide concern.
I can understand the concern, I guess, there. To me, it's kind of a nice way to kill two birds with one stone. You're teaching, you know, the less experienced, less knowledgeable football people who are playing the game kind of what to be looking for, you know, what receivers, when they're really looking for the ball and things like that. And you're doing it in a way that doesn't interfere with kind of the hardcore audience who knows what they're doing. It's a really, you know, really easy kind of, it doesn't clutter it up, but it's still a good way to teach. So I think it's a really neat addition in that way. As far as hands-on experience, I had one play that just really stood out to me in January. The defense was falling back into a zone, which meant that all the defenders were kind of looking for the ball already. I threw the ball to a receiver whose icon hadn't lit up yet, and so he wasn't looking for the ball. And the ball sailed right behind him to a corner who was looking, obviously, and he picked it off and just took it to the house. And it was perfect because it's exactly what would have happened in real life, you know. So it's a really nice addition there. One concern I know people had, you know, asked about was, you know, on a comeback route or something like that, you're supposed to throw the ball right as the receiver breaks or right before the receiver breaks when he wouldn't necessarily be looking for the ball. The way it was explained to me is that on routes like that, it'll actually light up right when you're supposed to throw the ball. So it allows you to, you know, make that throw right before or just as the receiver cuts, which is, you know, the way you would do it in real life. So that's pretty nice.
I should add and make this known that you last played the game in January and I last played it in late March. So neither one of us are, obviously I'm more recently than you have been. However, I know we say this a lot and the community hates hearing it. Things can change a lot. And I know there's not always drastic changes, but that is enough time that, you know, the guys who are playing it this week at the Lace Community event. I can't wait to hear their thoughts when they come back. But obviously, what you and I have seen, you know, it's kind of too tough to give specifics. But I also had a play down playing at a community event. Receiver gets past the safety in the corner, and they turn around to start looking for him. I'm able to pass it over the top to the receiver who was looking, catch it, made a nice catch. They tackled him. That's one of those that that's when it hits you. This isn't 12 or NCAA football of the past. In the past, passing was kind of, reading defense and making the right throws was, it was important. But if a guy was in the area, a defender, it was going to get swatted, batted, intercepted, something. A lot of these gameplay things tie into one another. So I'm going to transition to another one, and hopefully we come back to other ones. But that tied into pass trajectories, which have been improved. Numerous trajectories and zones have been added. That ties into my example, where in the past, if somebody was around the defender, there was a pretty high chance of it being batted. And it was one of the big complaints gameplay-wise was always tone down the linebackers. Tone down these super linebackers who are getting up there, batting things down. They didn't see the ball. They weren't in position, but somehow they did it. Well, that ties in with trajectories, and another feature we'll get to in a minute with read and react. You can kind of lob the ball over the top, and that ties into the total passing mechanic we started the show with, that with the ball placement, now you can get a little loft. Shorter throws are a little quicker out there, especially to the flats, a little quicker. What are your thoughts on that with these finally getting different trajectories and zones into this game?
You know, it's kind of hard to keep all of these things separate because they really tie into one mm-hmm. another. Basically, I mean, at its heart, what they're trying to do is just make basically the passing game give you as much control over that as possible. And, you know, the different throw trajectories is just, it's one of the things that you kind of got used to the way it's always been, where it's just a straight bullet or a lob. And again, like you said, we hate saying this, but it's one of those things that once you play with it, it's really kind of neat to see. It's like you've always been used to, I can't make that throw. You know, I can't throw that corner route because even though the defender's not there, he's going to get there. And, you know, being able to just put that ball just over the top, but not so high that the safety gets there, it's kind of a neat feeling. I really think it's going to, you know, it's going to help out, especially if it's implemented the way they've got their sights set on getting it implemented. I think it would be a really great addition.
Let's transition this to the catch animations before we get to read and react, because read and react ties into both sides of the ball. So let's stay with the passing attack for now, all the work that's been done in this area of the game. Over 430 new catch animations, and right off the bat, that's an impressive number. I think everyone who's heard that has just been kind of floored by the volume of that. I don't think we've ever heard that number come in for one specific game area before. We've heard about total animations in a game, how many new ones have been added. But just for catching alone, that's a huge number. And you've done a little bit of work looking into and revisiting what we were told in January. And you did a good job in the pre-show. We went over our notes. Talk about these catch animations and the benefits instead of, and not just the visually what's impressive, but what they do to improve the game.
Let's see if I can try and explain it here without losing everybody. The way it was explained to us is that in the past, they've only had so many animations for how a ball is received by each receiver from each angle. So there might be a 50-degree cone there in the past where if the ball came in anywhere in that 50-degree cone, one animation would trigger. And the result of that is that if the ball came in towards the outside of that cone, then the animation didn't really fit, but that's the only one they could play. So the way it was explained to us now is with these 430 new catch animations, they were able to break down those slices. So now a certain catch animation will only play if the ball comes in that maybe 5-degree cone they've allotted or a couple degree cone. And the result of that is that the animation just looks a lot smoother and more natural for the situation the receiver's in. I guess that to me is the part that's been missing from all these explanations. They've just thrown out that number 430, you know, and that doesn't really mean a whole lot. But the other part of that is, and I guess a good example of what it was in the past is, you know, you throw the ball to the receiver and he's running and nothing triggers. It's just he keeps running, the ball hits the ground. Well, the reason for that is that they didn't have an animation that could play for where the ball was coming to him, you know, in relation to where he was. So that should be, you know, a problem that that goes away with this new system.
That's something in the latest podcast, Larry talked about this new system that they built internally with this, allows them to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, it allows them to kind of fix or address catches on their end as during development in as quickly as 15 minutes, where in the past it may have taken them a day to go in and find and rectify issues. Did I understand him correctly? Or what was your take on what he talked about during the most recent podcast?
Yeah, I think you got it pretty well described there. The way they're able to kind of see what animation triggered and kind of go ahead and see if that fit with the situation now, it just seems like they have a lot more room to play with that now.
Let's stay on the passing before we get to the defense here. These are kind of quicker things we can go through. A new pump fake. That's one of those things I love people in the community. The community's had some good questions. Well, will the computer run it? Will the defense fall for it? Can you get it, you know, look off a safety, get a safety or a corner to bite on it? Those are things I don't think we can clarify right now because neither one of us have played a terribly recent version to know for sure. Shovel passes are in the game. This is something, there's no design plays for it, and that's something that people have been asking about. There's no design plays, but if you're in the right situation where running back, if they're close enough to you, instead of the quarterback going through the full wind up and throw, they will kind of, you know, basically just shovel it out there. And that's where the shovel pass comes into the game, because that also ties into, you know, the improved pass trajectories and the zones they've added in these new pass animations, not necessarily pass styles. I know people have asked for that, but this is just, they want to get rid of some of the longer wind ups that really were causing you to get sacked when you probably shouldn't have been sacked. What are your thoughts on the pump fake and shovel pass? And like I said, neither one of us have played a terribly recent version to give a lot of hands-on, but we have at least a little bit touched it and know what they wanted to do.
Yeah, like you said, the last time I was there was in January, so the shovel passes were at a really early stage for us then. Mm-hmm. So it's tough for me to say. I guess I like the idea of what they're doing. I'm in a kind of wait and see mode with that. Same with the pump fake. I haven't really played with that yet, so it's kind of a tough area to be in. I think that's something I'd like to hear Tommy's take on when he gets back. But the other, you know, some other things they added though, like the throw on the run animations, mm-hmm. like you said, kind of toning down the windups in some of the throws. Mm-hmm. I thought also with the new dropbacks, which we haven't even talked about yet, those kind of working in together, I think not only will they help the user, but the computer. You know, sometimes in the past, the computer with, you know, on a screen pass, he'd take a sack for a loss of 10 yards, and then it's like the computer's fighting this uphill battle. I think with the new dropbacks and the new animations and some of those things, you know, it might give the computer a little more room to breathe, so to speak, and maybe mm-hmm. make them a little more effective.
That's only with these drawbacks as well. It's going to be tough for people to adapt to, but they have communicated this a little bit, EA has, I should say, with their webcast and podcast, is that they really want the user to not manually do the dropback. I don't think they're going to penalize you per se or not let you, but I think they kind of want you to go through the natural dropback, because they've added in so many different new dropback animations, is they want you to kind of let the computer do the dropback. You worry about reading the defense, looking at receivers, finding who's open, seeing who you should throw to, which I think is something that's good for all users. I know there's such a battle, and battle may be overstating it, but there's always this discussion around release time. You know, is the game too catering too much to new users, whereas then if you talk to a person who hasn't really played the game or only played the demo, a lot of them say, "Yeah, it's too complicated. It's too many buttons, too many things going on, too fast." To me, if works the way they say it does, and I think they've got a pretty good system in place, do you think this new drawback system is beneficial to both parties, both veterans and rookies alike, to the franchise?
Oh, definitely. I mean, in the past I've always just held the stick down, you know, before the snap. And mm-hmm. I think that the net result is that I'm trying to read the defense, and a lot of times I drop deeper than I want to, or I end right. up, you know, getting past my blocking or, you know, things of that nature. So I'm definitely going to try and teach myself to use those dropbacks now, because it's just a more natural way to read the defense, I think. So I think for both new and old, it'll be a good thing.
It's going to be pretty tough to not hit that right stick down or left stick down on the dropbacks. That's one of those, like, you know, when they added in the auto sprint in recent years.
Yeah.
I still am hitting that when I know I shouldn't be. And it's going to be a tough habit to break.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the play action improvements. That's a big thing also for the last couple of years in the franchise. It's gotten really a lot of discussion, a lot of angst, especially right around release time. After release, people get the game. They want to run play action. You know, they've set up the run. They're using the setup feature in the game that we've had for a few years with the setup plays. They run a play action. They get sacked. Can't get the ball off. It's one of the more frustrating things in the game, especially when you have somebody open. I think part of it ties into the pass trajectories and the new passing animations. It was too slow, plus with the play action, there were times where the pressure's bearing down and you couldn't do anything about it. They've added in the ability to break out of play action. You can get the back to go into a blocking mode. We got block and release routes with that. Talk about the play action, because I think this is something that, you know, a lot of people had this question coming into the gameplay announcement, but then now that it's been out there, I'm surprised there's not more discussion about it, what they've done for it.
Play action hasn't really been something that you felt comfortable using, especially at any important time in the game in the past. So I think the new additions that they've had, you know, the ways of making your protection a little more solid, being able to break out of it when you see pressure coming is huge, and have that back just immediately go to pick up the blitz. That's great, and I think something that's kind of flown under the radar with this is that, you know, they've added more block and release routes and more delay routes to kind of give you that split second that you need to kind of read the defense and then go ahead and get the ball out. So overall, I like what they're doing with play action, and like you said, I think it's a little bit undersold with the community. I haven't really noticed too many people bringing that up.
Maybe it's one of those things where they're in a wait-and-see mode. They're going to wait till the first time they run it to see if they get sacked right away, and then be like, okay, we're back in square one. Or if they figure out because with breaking out of play action, if I understand it, it's hitting – you hit L2 to break out of it, and that'll tell the back, just go block. Pick up the guy coming through. So that's one of those that – another thing people are going to – control-wise are going to have to get used to before they can, you know, really appreciate the – or, you know, see if they can appreciate what's been added to play action. Now let's get into the read and react, because this is for offense and defense, and I think we've mentioned it without mentioning it. Read and react means if the player doesn't see it, they can't catch it, or they can't make a play on the ball. First off, with offense, we've already kind of talked about it with the receiver route awareness and the icons. Basically, once they're in position to see or catch the ball, when they're in the right spot in the route, the icon comes on. That means they're looking at the ball. That means they're in a position to make a play. That is something that I think we've heard a lot in regards to the offense, but we haven't heard it as much with the defense, but it helps them as well, and it tied into the play example you gave earlier. What are your thoughts on this read and react that we've heard a lot offensively, but defensively it's been somewhat muted?
Defensively, what it amounts to is that you're not going to get these, you know, oh, from where that corner's playing, I can throw this route and it's good. Well, no, I mean, in the past, the corner would just break on the ball, same as the receiver. Well, now the corner is going to have to see what's happening before he can make that play. So I think, again, that's a little bit offensive. But at the same time, you know, I think it rewards those defenders that look a little bit earlier. So hopefully with the defense, it ties in a little more than is kind of apparent from the presentations they've given.
One of the things in the most recent podcast, and we'll do a transition from read and react to the option improvements. But Larry Reheard gave the example of on option plays, this read and react can help your option game a little bit with any kind of receivers that go out. You know, the defensive backs are going with them, covering them, assuming it's a route, until they get in a position to look and see, okay, this isn't a pass play. It's an option play, or it's a run play of some sort. I need to go, you know, make a play on the ball, get past the blocker here. It's one of those that I wish they would have shown an example during the webcast to help us appreciate and understand it more. And that ties into the enhanced option pitch and improvements to it. Basically, and you can let me know if you feel the same way. We talked about this in pre-show. It seems like what they've done to the option is to try to make it appear and feel more natural and fluid. It's something that you know, in the last year or two in the franchise, I haven't run a lot of option. But now with some of these improvements, I think I'm going to try to put it back into the arsenal a little bit. What are your thoughts on we can even do read and react defense or option or how they tie together like that?
In the past, and I pointed this out to the gameplay guys while we were down there in January, but you know, you could run an option, like a power option from the I formation to one side, and it seemed like that corner was just on a blitz every time you called it. He was immediately sprinting at the ball carrier from the moment you snapped the ball. It sounds like with them being able to run, you know, the receivers being able to run the corners off, it sounds like now that the corners will have to react to the play a little more, or the defenders in general, I should say, will have to react to the play a little more before they do that, which should make it more natural as far as, you know, the way the plays carry themselves out, especially the options. And with the options, the new pitches and things like that, and the pitch relationships, it sounds like they're just, like you said, making it feel more natural, feel more fluid, make it feel a little more realistic to the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, that's something that's been missing, because in the past, you'd be in the process of pitching, and you get hit, and you just pull the ball down, you know? So I'm looking forward to seeing those in action.
One of the things during the webcast is they had mentioned, and granted, I know it's so tough to go into details with something like that, and the game they were showing us, it wasn't Larry or Ben or AJ sitting there with a controller. These were videos that were queued up, recorded in the past, put into the PowerPoint presentation, so they couldn't sit there and fudge with it or play with it or alter it. They were just kind of showing videos. But they had talked about with the option, one of the other improvements with it is that the defenders, let's say the ones who are committed to the quarterback, they aren't going to automatically shift from the quarterback to the running back on the pitch, is that they will continue through and they'll level that quarterback. And that was one of the things in the gameplay sizzle video. We saw the Nebraska quarterback after he pitched it, and it looked like it was a pretty good pitch animation, pretty good pitch, is the quarterback did get leveled. I don't know if people had noticed that, but he got got flattened on it. So it's one of those that I think, I don't want to say a lot of this is, you know, a visual improvement because that makes it sound superficial. But I think sometimes if you get something to look right, there's a good chance it's probably playing right. So that's one of those that, another one is that it's going to be fun to play the demo, get our hands on a, you know, relatively final code and to see these option improvements, because it's one of those that I wonder if it's being undersold or how major these changes are. Because sometimes in video games, you know, small changes can end up being huge. And I wonder if this might be one of those areas where that comes in. But let's get to alignment. That is something that we've talked about the offense so much. And some of this does relate to offense again. But defensively, they talked about alignment has been a big issue, a big thing that they've gone in and fixed. Talk about the alignment things. I know you've done a lot of work on this. I know Tommy has also done a lot of work, sending in community feedback, his own personal stuff with it. Alignment this year has been a big focus on offense and defense. So, Quizzy, I'll let you fire away on alignment.
With the defense, it's just kind of the process of eliminating all these awkward mismatches and just putting defenders out of position from the start of the play because of misalignments from the get-go in the past. This year, it's a thing of beauty to watch him put that play art up and motion a receiver across the field and watch the corner follow him all the way across the field. And as he passes each defender, switch zones with him. You know, it's an awesome thing to see that. You know, if offense comes out and, you know, trips right and you called a dime in the past, your dime back would be on the other side of the field and your middle linebacker would move over to cover that inside slot receiver. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now that corner is going to go over there like he should and play that assignment like he should. So you don't have these crossing or these defenders that are tasked with getting all the way across the field to cover their guy. It's really something slick.
There's also some other stuff with the offense and receivers and the way they line up. And I know this is something that you got mentioned on the most recent EA podcast for your question. So I'll let you handle it here as well, because you got a pretty good response back on it.
Yeah, well, one thing they didn't talk about in the original video or podcast they put out was they went through all the wide receivers' alignments and made them more realistic. So in the past, when you would call like a trips or a twins to the open side of the field, those receivers would go to a fixed spot that wasn't spread out based on the amount of field that was open to that side. And they've they've modified that this year. So now, you know, that outside receiver, if you're going trips to the open side of the field, that outside receiver is going to be at the top of the numbers. The second receiver is going to be just inside the hash, or, you know, just inside that hash on the far side. And the third, the inside, very inside slot guy is going to actually split the difference between the tackle and that second receiver. So what that kind of does is it just spreads the offensive formation out. And now with these defensive alignments being right, it's actually going to spread the defense out. So these spread principles that haven't really worked in the past, like these bubble screens and things like that, they haven't really worked. And some of that, I think, is because the defense is and the offense is so bunched up in the middle of the field. I really think this, you know, it's kind of undersold. They never even really talked about it until we asked them about it. But I think it could be huge. It really spreads the defenders out and gives the offense more vertical and horizontal seams, which really can open up your offense. And, you know, with the defense, it just kind of gives you one more thing to account for.
Now, going through this, and of course with the webcasts and podcasts and blogs, there's been a huge focus talking about the offensive improvements. We've measured some of the defensive stuff, but obviously in sheer numbers, the number of changes, it seems the offense has a huge advantage of new items coming to NCAA Football 13. And I know we haven't played the final, so we can't give a concrete answer. But do you feel the defense has been given a lot of improvements or a lot of teeth to kind of counter these offensive changes?
Well, I think simply the alignment alone is huge for the defense. You don't know what's coming as an offense. You can't tell by looking at it anymore. The defenders, you know, that off coverage is going to help some. They have different techniques they put in, like the trail techniques and things like that. So I think there's potential there for the offense to be a little bit heavy. But I also think that I don't think people realize how big a difference that alignment's going to make.
Of course, we can always make the point, though, that the offense should have an advantage because they know where the play's going.
Yep.
It's just one of those things that can the defense – that's the big thing a lot of people – is there going to be enough balance? Because if I know you're going to run a certain play, theoretically, if I'm calling the right play, it should slow or stop you. And I think that's where the concern comes in. And unfortunately, we don't know that. That's one of those that we probably won't know until the demo or retail. But like you said, I think alignment's very underrated. It's not a real sexy thing to talk about in a blog or a video or podcast for too terribly long just because – hey, they line up right. That's not really a huge marketable feature because theoretically, you know, they probably should. But I think, like you said, it's one of those that not being able to tell the coverage easily at the snap anymore is pretty underrated because that right off the bat, the offense, they're not going to be real sure what to go with at first, that they're going to have to read the defense a little bit more during the action, which I think is something new to the franchise, which I'm interested in seeing, you know, days and weeks after release. Because you know people are going to be, you know, hit the controller hard trying to figure out, is there a way to tell? Like, maybe I can find something.
Yeah.
That it's going to be interesting to see what people figure out or think they figure out.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to specialty.
One more thing.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
One other thing on that, though, that, you know, I just thought of as far as helping the defense out is, you know, with those receivers having to look for the ball now and only looking at certain points in their routes, it really rewards the defense for calling a good blitz and, you know, getting to the quarterback because he can get rid of the ball before the blitz gets there. But if those receivers aren't looking, they're not going to catch the ball. So, I mean, that's another tool that the defense has been given is that, you know, the offense has to play more realistically now too.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I know it sounds offensive heavy, but I'm interested to see because you know, there's people out there who are always very good defensive players. There's also very good offensive players. And that's the one thing we probably didn't mention, we probably should have earlier, is that you can throw to players who don't have that lit-up icon, but they're not going to see the ball or be necessarily in a position to catch it right away. But the team has, dev team has said you can still select them and user catch. And going with that, and I don't know if either one of us can really answer this, which is kind of funny because we both played the game early, is during the webcast they talked about how on user catches they wanted to make it, and I don't want to use the wrong terminology, but I probably am. Like, they wanted to make it a little bit easier to use or catch, as they talked about slowing it down a little bit. That's one thing, I'll be honest, I don't fully understand. And I'm someone who historically was not a user catch guy, but now in the last year or two, I think I user catch way more than I realize. Not to the point of rocket catching or trying to glitch or exploit, just that I don't trust the computer. So when the ball is coming, I switch and go right to that triangular white button to try to catch it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not a guy who's going to notice what they've done to make it easier. What was your take on those comments? And like I said before, maybe we can't answer that, but what were your thoughts on the user catch discussion that existed during the webcast?
Well, I think their ultimate goal was to make it less twitchy, if that's the right word.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So when you'd click on to the receiver in the pass, it seemed like you had to know where you were going and have the stick headed that way before you clicked on, or else you were just kind of messing it up, at least for those of us like myself who are less skilled on the sticks, I guess. In the past, it's so easy to run yourself out of a play by clicking on. It sounds like their goal was to just almost slow down that process a half a second so that you could, once you click on, you can kind of get your bearings and the receiver's more controllable.
It's one of those that I hope they revisit it before release, because I think it's something that the people who heard it at the time, and I know we had people on the Gaming Tailgate who were asking the same thing, like, so is this going to make everybody like a user catch expert? And I don't get that impression. I don't think they want to do that, because that would completely negate the defense and improvements to the defense. I think they want it to be where it's tough, and this is probably a topic for a different show, but in a football video game / simulation, obviously people want to be realistic, and EA wants it to be realistic, but at its core, it's still a video game. And what separates people in video games is generally how good they are with the controls. However, what's the line in a football video game where the user control negates the simulation aspect? And conversely, where does making it so sim, even in how it plays, negate being a video game and rewarding people who are good with the controller? It's a fine line. I don't know how one walks it. To me, it just seems like people on each side are going to feel the other one's being catered to. What are your thoughts on that real quick, Matt? We don't have you on the show very often. This is your first time,
yeah.
So I want to hear you more than me.
Yeah, we're getting our money's worth here.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fine line. You know, in general, I think it's tough for them to walk. Like, how much do you cater to the crowd that, you know, doesn't play that often or doesn't take it that seriously and things like that? That's a tough line to walk. I know there's a couple of guys in our community that just, to them, it's give them the option. So I think things like sliders and things like that in the future could make that more, I guess, make that line a little bit bigger so that, you know, you give the user the option. So I guess that's something I would hope for in the future. But I think they've walked a good line with it so far this year with what they're trying to do. We'll see how it plays out, you know, in July and August once people have a chance to get on the game a little bit and test things out.
Kind of the last major gameplay thing that we're going to talk about tonight is some of the special teams changes, and it relates mainly to the punt coverage with returns and also on the coverage with the defenders staying in their lanes. We should add, and they did mention this during the webcast, but they've confirmed it with us in the past, is that the new kickoff rules for college football will be in the game this year. And that's something some people have been asking on, especially on our social networks. They've been wondering, did EA get that in? Yes, those are in. So let's talk about punt coverage. That's the one big area on the field that did get touched in terms of some of the logic issues. And this is an interesting one. I'll kind of pull back the curtain a little bit. At the last event I was at, it wasn't fully in. On the Wednesday and Thursday, it really wasn't in that much. On Friday, some of the changes went in, and it was drastically improved. And then from the video we saw this past week in the gameplay sizzle video, it looked like it was fully in, and it looked and played very well from what I saw in that video, especially compared to what I played at the last one I was at about a month ago. What are your thoughts on this punt coverage? And I know, unfortunately, you haven't played it, but at least from what you've seen and heard, I'm interested in knowing what you think of the punt coverage focus and improvements this year.
You know, having talked to Roy Harvey last year at the event for 12, special teams is something that's been on their radar and they've been wanting to address. It's just, it's, you know, unfortunately, there's only so much time in a year. And special teams is something that's kind of been bumped to the bottom of the list for a couple years. So I think what it amounts to is they knew they wanted to start messing with special teams, but they can't just – I don't think they could dedicate themselves to a whole dev cycle of addressing it. So it sounds like this is maybe the first step, and hopefully what is, you know, a continued process of overhauling special teams some. You know, having not played it yet, I don't know really – you know, what I can say about it more than it looked nice in the video, I guess.
Yeah, the big thing was, you know, in returns you get that third guy back and there's a wedge formed on the coverage defenders, stay in their lanes. What I saw at the last event was the gunners, the players try to block them kind of towards the sideline, which is something we really haven't seen before. And that part of it, when I saw it for the first time on that Friday at the event, I watched it several times in replay because that hasn't been the case previously. They just kind of, people just kind of ran down, and the example they use in the webcast is that it was like a soccer match, you know, a youth soccer match where everybody just kind of bunches together, runs to the same point. Well, now that, you know, there's variation things going on. You have gunners going, trying to get blocked out wide. The coverage team's going down, staying in lanes. You have this wedge forming that, like you said, people are hoping for a lot more special teams, and we're definitely in that camp. Don't get us wrong. But this is a pretty good start because punt coverage was the area last year. In 12, that was one of the worst. That now at least you're in a position to where if you can get a couple good blocks and make a move, there's potential for some excitement in special teams on the punt team, and we haven't seen that before. Let's stay with the game improvements for 13 before we talk about things that didn't get in the future of the franchise a little bit. This is the big one. I know you're excited for it. I'm excited for it. Custom playbooks have been improved, and this is something that was mentioned at the end of the webcast. It wasn't in the podcast. I don't believe it was in any of the blogs or even the media articles, which is surprising given the outrage and issues that existed in 12 with them being, I don't want to say broke, but there were certainly a lot of bugs and issues at launch. Custom playbooks, Matt, you know some of the changes, and if you miss anything, I'll definitely fill in. But talk about NCAA 13 working on and fixing these custom playbooks.
Yeah, well, it sounds like essentially what they've done is to make it so that what you see on the front end is what you get in-game. And to do that, in doing that, they've simplified it as far as how many formations. It sounds like you can get down to your special teams playbook and one play in one formation. So to me, that's about as simple as it can get. It sounds like they really just remove some of the, like last year you could make it work, but you had to jump through a bunch of loopholes to get there. It sounds like they just removed a lot of that clutter and a lot of the confusion. And really, to me, the way they set out to do custom playbooks last year was awesome. It just, the implementation wasn't great. So, you know, for them to go and fix, hopefully, to where you can get it down to one play and one formation, that's about as simple as it gets.
With that, now this year we can edit goal line. You can go in there and mess with that. The Wildcats are now all in one Wildcat formation. The one trade-off with that is that they've lost the school-specific nicknames for the Wildcat formation, which isn't a huge deal. I mean, I'm sure if you're a fan of the school and you had a cool nickname and it was in the game, you're probably going to miss it. But now everything is just Wildcat, so when you're in custom playbooks, it's just the Wildcat formation. So you can add or remove any of those as you see fit. So there's the customization people wanted last year is in there this year. So I think people are going to be excited. And this is something that sometimes EA, they push features here or there. This is one that I think is underrated, but I understand why, because spending a lot of time saying, hey, we fixed this, you know, that doesn't, it's not really a big sell, but yeah, it's something that I think for our community and a lot of the online community, in terms of online form, I should say, pretty excited about. But now that we know all these gameplay features that are in NCAA Football 13, it seems like community reaction has been pretty positive. I know some of it's, you know, could change once they play the demo or play retail or see a lot of videos. Things could change. But out of the gate, pretty positive. However, and rightfully so, there are people who, and I think we probably all fit into these camps a little bit, have asked about some features like, so why didn't offensive line, defensive line interaction get touched? Why didn't, you know, wide receiver blocking, why isn't that a big addition? And what about, you know, a special teams overhaul, blocking field goals or punts, you know, or even just kick trajectories so you can't just bury the arrow and get max power every time with no risk or drawback. I will say this. I don't know what they're going to do in the future. And Matt, you know, Quizzy, you don't know either. EA, even though we sign our lives away at events, they don't tell us what's coming because they don't really know for sure. Obviously, they're still working on 13, so 14 isn't a huge focus right now. I'm sure they've thought, but I will say this. Nobody at Tiburon is surprised that there's disappointment about, you know, no O-line, D-line interaction being in. They're not surprised people are upset about special teams overhaul. Those are things, like you said in the past, they've said it's on their radar. They know people want it, but some of these things are big things. And if we as a community want a game that isn't too broken or, you know, too many issues at launch, you know, you got to realize where can you take these improvements and where do you need to space them out in terms so there's proper time devoted. Larry did mention they doubled the size of the gameplay team, and I think this is the first year where that's in place. However, I think it's one of those things where we might see an even bigger leap next year, because a lot of these guys, depending where they came from, new, probably learning the ropes, at least learning the EA system, even if they're experienced elsewhere in video game design and engineering. So those to me are the two of the bigger things that didn't get in 13. And who knows when they'll be in the franchise. And no one knows that except for EA, and they may not know right now. But I'll put it this way. I would expect them to see them in sooner than later. What are your thoughts on kind of the future features that you think we should see or might see down the line?
I think I said it in a post. You know, when we first heard the details for gameplay this year, I'm not going to lie, I was a little disappointed. As someone who likes to run the ball and play defense, my top wish list items are offensive line, defensive line interactions, and realistic run fits and pursuit angles. So, you know, neither one of those is the focus this year. That being said, though, I mean, you look at this feature set, and it's all things that are kind of spot on with what need to be done. It's just, it may not be in the order that people would choose to do it, or, you know, not everyone. So, to me, I mean, the feature set this year is pretty solid, especially once you play it. As far as in the future goes, I mean, having spoken with the gameplay guys pretty much as possible while I've been down there, I know they want, you know, realistic offensive line play. Anthony spends, you know, hours and hours going over film to look at, you know, realistic run fits and blocking schemes and things like that. So I know all that's on his radar, and I you know, he's a spread guy too. He likes a lot of the spread stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a lot of the spread stuff get better implemented in the next couple years. You know, the wide receiver blocking schemes and just blocking schemes in general. I think those are a shoe. And like I said, I think they'll continue to whittle away at special teams. I don't know that they'll ever just have a year where it's like, oh, special teams, completely new, everything, and that's all we did. I just don't know that that's in the cards, but I think they'll keep kind of plugging away at special teams in the next couple of years, too.
Now we've kind of entered what I'm going to call the dark side of the moon phase. Communication's going to drop off a little bit because we know the next playbook, the next big announce, isn't until May 7th. So depending on when you listen to this, maybe it's not that far off. But basically, it's about 2.5 weeks as we sit from recording this, 3 full weeks from the previous webcast that was devoted to gameplay, is going to be covering Dynasty. On the NCAA Football official product website, it talks about, it has a brief description. We'll read that. We can't speculate or say anything, but we'll throw it out. Game day has come to life with mid-game updates featuring a new studio analyst, plus enhanced commentary from NCAA Football veterans Kirk Herbstreit and Brad Nessler. Recruiting now goes deeper than ever with the addition of dynamic grades and the ability to scout players. Plus, there are even more ways to interact with your dynasty from the web. Full details on May 7th. So, it's tough because we've had a lot of good info this month. I believe it started on the 3rd, again on the 17th. We started with Sights and Sounds, did gameplay, and now we're going to have another 2.5 weeks where I don't expect much information. A lot of media sites have already done their stories on Sights and Sounds. They've done their gameplay stuff that, unless we get some maybe new images or quick movies showing us some gameplay improvements, which I think it's too early for, it's going to be a quiet 2.5 weeks. What do you do in a wait like this, Matt? It seems like it's one of those that, you know, when you start getting info, you want more and more and more, and now it's going to be, okay, 2.5 weeks, guys.
Yeah, well, as you know, and you've just experienced, I'm in the process of planning a wedding, so I have no spare time to worry about the video games. But no, I mean, it's tough, especially, you know, to know things and want to talk to the community and share things about Dynasty and things like that. It's tough, but, you know, it's almost nice to kind of draw it out. It makes it a nice process, to, you know, something to look forward to and kind of get you to release.
the one thing I would recommend for people is that it's something that I know you're a fan of, and you've given us some feedback in the past on how to improve it, is our NCAA Football 13 Information Central. You go to thegamingtailgate.com, look at the top banner. You'll see it, a link there to NCAA Football Info Central. You'll also see on the right side another link to it. It's every official article, it's every screenshot, it's every blog, it's every podcast, it's every webcast, it's every media video, everything that's about the game that has any kind of information, as well as the announced and known feature set, demo info that we don't have it yet, pre-order info, it's all there. So I know we get these waves. You know, the first, you know, 2.5 weeks of April have been a pretty big wave with the sights and sounds, with gameplay, that maybe you might have missed something. Maybe there was a media article you missed. Maybe you missed the first official podcast from EA Sports. It's all in one spot. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes it's easy to kind of forget what's been added because things can always get downplayed. You can always say, okay, they fixed the passing game. Well, it's a little bit more than that. And once you see it all spelled out, and it's like, okay, now I see everything they've done. Now it kind of clicks a little bit more and reminds you of what you may have forgot from a ways off.
Yeah, it's definitely a good place to kind of go every once in a while and just kind of refresh up and remember what you've missed and what you kind of forgot about, and just make it all that harder to wait until July 10th.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I know it was a lot of info. First off, Quizzy, well, thank you for coming on. I hope you had a good time, and hopefully you'll come back again someday.
Yeah, definitely, man. Appreciate you having me.
You know, after this is over, I'm going to go back and see what our female demographic thinks. And if you bring in more female listeners than Tommy or Jeremy, one of those two guys is going to have to go.
Full-time
That's all
position?
I'm going to say. That's right. You may be promoted. They may be demoted.
Is it a paid position, or is this pro bono?
Trust me, nobody's getting paid out of this. No, I wish, but no, unfortunately, there's no money in this.
I hear
son,
you.
you're in the wrong business if you're trying to get rich off this. All right, for Quizzy, this has been CDJ. Everyone, thank you for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.
This is sweet. Camera crews are setting up, and I'm looking totally ripped. Beefcake! Beefcake!
I don't think they're going to be able to get all of you and Frank, Hartman.